1 Timothy chapter 5, if you didn't have a chance to bring your Bible, the pew Bible in front of you, it's on page 1673. And there's also a handout if you're into handouts. I'm into handouts because I can write stuff down and helps me remember and keeps me awake. So if you need a handout, you can just let one of the ushers know. We're in 1 Timothy chapter 5. We'll look at the first few verses in a minute. Have you ever been in a socially awkward situation? Some of us more than others, right? Yes. You ever been in a socially awkward situation and it's like you knew you needed to say something, but you just didn't know what to say? Like, I've got to say something. Someone has to say something, but I don't know what's to say or who's going to say it or just how it's going to come across. Boy, it's tough, right? So as you know, as many of you may know, we have the Christian school here, and I work in the Christian school during the week. And as the youth pastor, I have certain responsibilities in the school. And so when we get a phone call or something's going on, the office will call me and have me come talk to a young person. And usually that means I take them to my office, and you should see the fear in their eyes. It's just great. And but sometimes it's something light. It's, you know, just talk to them about this or this or what, something easy. But every once in a while, this has only happened a few times, we'll get a phone call, just some kind of awful news. And you can't just bring the office, you can't just bring the student to the office and shout for tell the whole world, you know, this happened or whatever. So usually they would say, can you pull the person aside and just let them know something has happened? So I say, okay. So I'll find the young person. I'll say, can we talk for a minute? I'll take him to the office. I'll sit him down, close the door, and we'll talk about whatever it is. And I always pray, Lord, give me the right words. I don't want to be hurtful in what I say. But if it's bad news, it's bad news. There's no way to make it sound good. But you want to convey the news. You want to be comforting, helpful. And we got a phone call. Someone had lost a family member. And so you can't call them into the office and announce it for the whole world. So they said, can you pull this person aside and just let them know someone has passed in their family? And so I'm praying, Lord, what do I say to this person? This is going to be devastating for them. And I don't want to say the wrong thing and be hurtful. I don't want to be too grim and make everything worse. And so I call the person in my office, and we sit down. The first thing they ask is, am I going to get a lot of demerits? I say, no. There's no demerits today. And then so I'm thinking, I've been praying. What do I say, Lord, to this person? And they say, is grandma dead? I say, yes. They're like, okay, and they left. I thought the Lord helped me there. They grabbed their book bag, and they were gone. And so the Lord helped me. But I think we all have situations where we fight to know what to say to someone, how to react, or how to share some news with someone. We all have those times, situations where we're not sure what to do. And as much as you and I might struggle with knowing what to say and what to do, imagine how young Timothy felt. Young, he's the word for young in 1 Timothy, he's probably early 30s. That's what kind of the idea of the word. But in that culture, he was seen as young. And he takes over a church with all kinds of problems. There's false doctrine. There's people that are causing division and strife. And so here is young Timothy. And Paul has been working on the church, but he feels called to go on in evangelism. And so he says, I'm going to give you Timothy. He has a servant's heart. And so here young Timothy is. He's young. I think he's single, it sounds like. But that's just my opinion. I can't prove that. But here he is in this place of leadership dealing with problems. And people are like, Timothy, what do I say? Or Timothy, can you talk to this person? Or maybe there's young ladies in the church. How do I talk to them respectfully? And but not come across flirtatious. And so he has all these questions. How do I treat all of these people? And what's the correct way to treat the different relationships in the church? Okay, so that's Timothy. I'm going to say in our modern situation, we also have various people in the church. The church is really the great melting pot, if you think about it. People point this out to me all the time, especially Marquette. And I say, yes, Marquette is a mix. We have people from all different ethnic backgrounds, different cultures, different countries, education levels, life experiences. We have ages. We have ranges of income. We have the mix at Marquette. Those of you who've been here long enough know. We have the mix at Marquette. And people that have all different kinds of ideas, okay? And I just go with it, and I have fun. I don't worry. But I recognize that sometimes you're like, how do I do this? How do I say this to this person? Okay, because here we are as the church. And who is the church? Those are people that realize that we are sinners. Since the days of Adam and Eve, we've broken God's law. And because we've broken God's law, there's the punishment for our sin, which is death and hell and separation from God. And so we realize that Christ, being God in the flesh, came and died for us and took our punishment on the cross so that if we put our faith and trust in him and him alone, not our own works, but in his goodness and his grace, we can be saved. And as we're saved, we become part of the body of Christ. We're baptized. And then after baptism, the New Testament pattern is we want to join the church. And this is obedience to what the New Testament teaches. And so the church is full of a range of people. And so within this range of people, how do I treat the other people around me? What's the correct way to handle situations that I'm not sure how to treat them? Having this in mind, let's look at our passage, 1 Timothy chapter 5. And we'll be looking at verses 1 and 2. Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity." It's short. I'm going to read it again. "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, and the elder women as mothers, the younger as sisters with all purity." Let's pray. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, as we look at what the Scripture teaches, may it speak to our hearts. Help us to honor you with the way that we treat others. I pray that this church would be a place like a loving family where people could be accepted, encouraged, and helped. Lord, help us to truly be like Christ in how we treat this body you've put us in. In your name I pray these things. Amen. All right, so we mentioned this. Within this church body, how do we treat each other? It talks about rebuke not an elder. Oftentimes, the word elder can refer to a pastor, the dignity of a pastor, the maturity of a pastor, okay? And so we have this in mind. However, in this context, it's not talking about a pastor. It's just talking about someone, an older male in the church, okay? So how do we treat these older males in the church? Okay, this is the first relationship. There's four levels of relationships in the church. So how does Timothy, or how would you and I treat an older male in the church? Number one, we need to show respect to an elder. Show respect. We should be respectful of elders. Notice what it says. Rebuke not an elder. Do not rebuke him. The idea of rebuke here is speaking with harshness. Don't speak with harshness. We should show respect for the wisdom and experience that the person has. God has taught them things throughout life, and we should show respect to that. So if there's an older person and I would like something, it's easy to harass them. Don't harass them. Don't beat them up. Don't speak to them with harshness. Don't interrupt them, okay? Sometimes I'm in a hurry, right? And sometimes someone's slower. I'm like, I just want to be like the race car that gets to the finish line. I can't do this, okay? Let's give them time, listen to them in a respectful way. The second thing he says, okay, so we can't rebuke them. Does this mean that we just can't make any suggestions or tell them anything? Well, no. Entreat them. The idea of there is can be translated exhort or urge them. The idea is that we're encouraging them. This is the right thing. We want to encourage you. We think this is the right thing. So you can talk to them, but I'm going to say I'm not rebuking. I'm urging them. I'm speaking to them with politeness. I'm going to say this is the right thing. And because you're older doesn't mean that you're perfect, okay? But they at least have earned the right to be treated with respectfulness, okay? I don't treat them like they're brand new to this all, okay? I'm going to show politeness, and I'm going to be loving in how I interact with them. That's your first point. You see how fast that just went? That was quick. All right, moving right along. How should we treat younger men? Or for Timothy, it'd be other males his age or younger. How should we treat other men? How do you treat your brother? Well, I have experience. I have done 38 years of homework. I actually have my own brother. His name is Ethan. And we've spent some time together. We spent some time together this summer. So how would I treat my own brother? And how would I treat other men in the church? Okay. Number two, young men should be treated as equals. You treat them as you would your brother. So when I was a kid, my brother was much older than I am. And so he pretty much told me what to do as a young man. But then, and he was much bigger, so it was in my best interest to comply with whatever his wishes were, okay? However, since those days, I have grown, and I'm actually much bigger than him. And I tackled him. What was this? It wasn't as funny as when we were kids, though, somehow. He doesn't think it's funny. He's got a bad back. I have a bad back. It was, our wives are starting to panic. But the relationship has changed, okay? Now we and I don't know. I call him like every 6 months maybe. And then we'll talk for like an hour and a half. And it's like we're old friends and we like everything that's the same. And then I won't talk to him again for a long time. I think it's just the guy thing maybe. But I really enjoy his companionship and friendship. But it's not me and him anymore. We're like this. We talk about family, kids. We're equals now, okay? Our age isn't as much of a big deal. We can both talk about our bad backs and whatever else is going on. And we're about the same. Well, he's got slightly more hair, but that's not saying much in my situation. But here we are, okay? I wouldn't talk down to Ethan. Ethan wouldn't talk down to me. I'm under no illusion that I'm better than him. And he knows me, so he's under no illusion that I would be better than him either. So I guess we're in agreement there, okay? But I get where he's coming from. He gets where I'm coming from. We talk through things. Even to this day, there's 7 kids in my family. We still vote on things. We used to vote because my dad could never make decisions. You guys ever have problems picking a restaurant if you're driving somewhere? All the fast food places, we'd all just like shout all at once, Wendy's, Burger King, McDonald's, and he's just like, keep driving. He didn't know what to do. So we eventually figured out, because my dad's more quiet, we just would start to vote on things. And to this day, we have a little email chain, and we'll all vote on family gatherings, okay? So usually it's, 4-3 or whatever, and then someone has to be the one that talks to the one sibling that voted no sometimes, and that's, it's like, can you call so-and-so? Okay. But anyway, okay? So, as a brother, I'm going to treat him as an equal. I'm not going to look down on him. And, it's important in the church, as you talk to people, it never ceases to amaze me the things that you can say to someone and retain their friendship. You can even say very difficult things to people and still be their friend. And I found 2 things that are true. The two qualifications, I can say anything to anybody and you'll still be my friend, if 2 things are true about me. Number one, if people know that you genuinely care. If it comes from a place of love, people will receive a lot of things, okay? If they kind of question how much you really care about them, then there's bad news, that might be the end for you. That's number one. Number two, if people feel like you talk to them as an equal, I find, then people will listen, okay? Even if it's bad news, okay? The person cares about me. They're not talking down to me like I'm just an idiot here. I can receive this, okay? So it's important that we're loving and respectful of others. We're not talking down to them. We're not assuming that they're the worst, they have a bad motive. You made this big mistake because you're terrible or you hate children or whatever. Don't do this, okay? Talk to them. Realize they're just like you. We all make mistakes at times. We're not always aware of things. I'm going to say when I have someone makes me really upset and I go talk to them, I'm going to say half the time, this is what I've come to discover, half the time I misunderstood something or they misunderstood something. And usually it's not that they're out to get anyone or, sometimes there's mistakes. And so I'm going to treat others with that basic respect. The golden rule, I'm going to treat others the way I'd want to be treated, okay? As a brother, as an equal, other men, I'm going to go and talk to them respectfully. My family is not always perfect. Abby, Ethan, Ruth, Hannah, Rachel, Amy, they're not always perfect. But I will tell you this, if they make a mistake, I always think that they had a good reason. And when someone criticizes them, I'm always, sometimes I even criticize them. But if someone else does outside our family, ooh, that really bothers me. I'm like, you don't talk bad about Ethan, okay? I'll tell the hair jokes, or the back jokes, okay? None of your business. And I think as a church body, we need to have this same sense of family, okay? That we're looking out for each other. If someone else is in need, we would drop everything to help them because God has put us and God has called us together, okay? So, young men, how should we treat them? Like equals. I hope you're treating others in this church like equals. And we realize how God loves them just like he loves us. And they have struggles just like we have struggles. And we need to help each other, okay? All right, the next relationship number 3. This is How should we treat women that are older? Mothers, grandmothers, aunts. How should we treat these people? We should treat the older women with respect. And I know what women love most in this whole world. You know what women love most? Not shoes. Women love to be listened to. That's what I figured out. They say that the biggest problem with husbands is they don't listen. Now, I don't know if my wife says this or not, because I don't really know what she says. That's a joke. All right. But yes, that was like a groan there. Oh, groan. That would have worked in youth group, just so you know. All right. But to listen to what they have to say and to hear them, hear their cautions. Don't just dismiss them. Oh, you're fearful. Who cares? I'm going to go ahead. No, we should listen to what they have to say. Listen to the wisdom that they have. And even particularly, it mentions this about Timothy and his mother. 2 Timothy 1:5, when I called remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that also is in thee. 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Even at an early age, they taught him the Scriptures. But this isn't just young Timothy that's being taught by mothers. Proverbs has a lot to say about the wisdom of mothers. And I'll give you one example. Proverbs 1:8, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, forsake not the law of thy mother. So how should we treat input from those women that are older? We should be listening to them. We should take them seriously, okay? It's easy, you know, they're worried, who cares? Let's just rush on ahead. No, no, God has given them wisdom. And I will tell you, my wife has a good sense for a lot of things that I don't have any clue about. But the Lord has given the motherly instinct, perhaps. I don't know what you call it. But we should listen and respect them, okay? So women in the church that are older, let's show respect to them. Let's listen to what they have to say and treat them like they have value. Okay, we get to our last relationship. How should we treat women? And for Timothy, this would have been women who were his age, younger women. How should we treat younger women? We should treat younger women like sisters with carefulness. Okay? We should treat the women of this church. Those women that are my age, I should treat them like sisters. I should treat them similar to how I would treat Abby, Ruth, Hannah, Rachel, or Amy. Five sisters. Can you believe it? What a blessing. And my sisters know they can call me and I will help them. Okay, whatever they need, they can call me, and they do. And they'll ask things of me, and I'm happy to help them out. Hopefully they know this by now. If they needed something, I would be there for them, or I'd listen to something that they have, and I care, and I would help. And even if I was busy, if it was really important, I would probably drop whatever it was, and I'd run over and help them. Okay, treat them respectfully. So treat the women of the church respectfully, with kindness, assuming the best, with gentleness. And this is what honors the Lord. So, does this mean that I would treat every single lady of the church who's my age exactly like I would treat Abby, Ruth, Hannah, Rachel, or Amy? Exactly the same? 100% the same? For instance, my sister Rachel here, I can pick on her for a second. She works in the, everyone looks at her, okay? She works in the same office as I do. She's the secretary, as you may know. The other day I was in the office, I hadn't turned the lights on, I was putting stuff away, and I heard her coming. And what happens if your sister's coming into a dark room and you're there first? You hide behind something. That's the first thing. And then when they come in the room, you pop out and you scare them. Okay? Is this appropriate brotherly behavior? Yes. Or there's sometimes when I'll walk over and she's working hard and I'll rub her back. She's my sister, and I'm treating everyone like my sister. Should I do this to other people? Should I pop out in the foyer and scare women? You would say, hopefully not, right? Other women may not think that's a great idea, or they may not laugh at the joke. And so I'm not the first to think this. If you look at the scripture itself, Paul puts a caveat on how he treats women like sisters. He says, with all purity, okay? So the verse ends with that as a kind of a caution. So with other women my age, it's okay to have a little bit of distance. Okay, I treat them like my sister in the way I respect them, but I can. It's a little bit of physical space is okay. Okay, if you're a young lady in the church, I'll be your friend, but I probably won't be your best friend. Okay, I probably won't text you or call you as much as I text or call one of my sisters. And so, for the testimony's sake of young Timothy and leadership, a little space is okay. You can be professional with ladies, just to give the right appearance towards others. And it's okay to be cautious, okay? So respectful, but also with carefulness. So to conclude, how should we treat others in the church? I see the pattern that is here. We should treat them like a loving family with respectfulness, okay? This is how we navigate these relationships. I'm loving. I treat you like you're a part of my family, and it's a happy family, okay? Not dysfunctional family, but a happy family. I don't treat you like you're less than me. I don't treat you like you don't matter. You do matter before God. I treat you like you are part of the body of Christ, even as I am. Let me ask you this. How do you treat other people in the church, and how do you talk about them? You talk about them like, they're terrible, they're awful, they're horrible. Or do you see the heart, you know, and sometimes people make mistakes. I'm not here to candy coat. I make mistakes. We all make mistakes. But do you see their heart for the Lord behind it? They do come to this church, which means there's some spiritual desire there, okay? And so the Lord has worked in their life. Do we see the positives that God has given, or do we just see the negatives? Let's treat others with kindness. Let's see the good in others around us, okay? Let's be respectful and humble. Treat others as Christ taught us, with a sense of servanthood. With God's help, my prayer is that our church will be a place where we treat each other with the kindness that Christ had for us. Let's pray.